Good morning, Lyle.
Hello.
Good morning, Dick.
Good morning.
Chris. Okay, Susie, I'm sorry, you said Susie, Ed, and who?
Keith.
Keith, great, okay. And good morning to all of you and to Chris.
Good morning.
NACE, PPI, and SBN are missing. All right, we'll give them a couple more minutes. Anybody have to leave early today that you know of?
I've got another call at 10:30, but we usually finish before that.
Oh, Anne's not going to be available today.
Elizabeth, this is Chris. I don't know how long this will go, but if it goes fairly long, I'll need to sign off about 11:30.
Your time, which is, what time are you right now?
I'm sorry. It's 10 o'clock my time.
That's right. We're now different. Okay. So roughly the same time as Dick. Okay. Sounds good. Okay. I'll keep that in mind. We'll try and wrap the meeting up by then.
That's an hour and a half. So.
Gotcha. All right. Not convinced we're going to get anybody else, so maybe we should launch into this. What I was thinking of doing was tackling the second topic first, because I think the first and third ones would benefit from going through them together. The second topic involved the discrepancy in terms of whether or not one can use a sign in front of non-decimal numbers, and there was basically a pretty clear discrepancy in the two places in the standards reference that addressed this. Let's see. Yeah, section 12.3.1.2. Let's go there. Actually, look at the standards reference. 12.3.1.2. This is talking about ODL lexical elements. 12.3.1.2. Integer numbers in base notation. And in the definition here that they clearly show that one can use signs, and in fact the examples show there's two of the examples that actually list a sign in the non-decimal numbers. And then the other site we had was, let's see, 12.7.3, which is also part of the ODL description. 7.3. ODL PVL usage. 12.7.3 bullet 13. Signs may not be used in non-decimal numbers. Okay, actually, looking at this packages that deal with PDF have accepted PDL. PDL is a superset of ODL. So some PDL constructs are not supported by PDF. In addition, some ODL constructs may be interpreted differently by PDL software. The ODL PDL usage standard defines restrictions on the use of ODL PDL in archive quality datasets. These restrictions are intended to ensure the compatibility of PDL with ODL and existing software. So my read on this is that the restrictions listed in Section 12.7.3 override the earlier section, and that therefore Section 13, which says that you may not use signs, should override the section that says that you can use signs. Is that what everybody, how other folks would read this? And has anybody used signs routinely?
I would agree with your interpretation, but, and I don't know of anybody that has used.
Anyone else on that one?
I don't know if anybody has used non-decimal numbers.
We've used some, I used them in imaging for things like checksums and that. Also used as bit masks on engineering headers or binary headers, where you had a series of numbers that were basically bit flags for, you know, like say engineering health information about an instrument.
Yeah, but you wouldn't normally put a sign on a bit mask.
You got it.
None of those cases that you've mentioned.
Yeah, we never used signs, as far as I know. Okay, then it sounds like the consensus is that the 12.7.3 is the overriding principle here, and that maybe what I should do to clarify this is simply put a PDF usage note in the earlier section, just to make it clear that one cannot use the signs as they're laid out in the ODL description there. Does that sound like the proper solution here?
It's okay with me. Consensus of one.
no opposition, so that works.
Okay, no opposition. Sounds good. Okay, so add PDF usage note. 212312. Okay, sounds good. All right, going on to the other two issues. Both of these are dealing with the full set of PDF objects. We have two issues that have come up. One is the fact that the file object, as it's currently defined, lists no either required or optional sub-objects. This is causing problems for VTool, which is trying to interpret the data dictionary literally, and therefore every object in every PDF label is invalid. So we need to fix that. The second issue has to do with the presence of PSDD listed as an optional keyword for many of the objects in the data dictionary that's online. Now, Dick pointed out that when you actually look at the standards reference, there's a discrepancy between that and the online data dictionary in terms of the usage of PSDD. There are a couple of cases where the standards reference will list any, and PSDD has been added to the online data dictionary, but in most cases it's present in the online version but not in the standards reference. So I think the general feeling that I heard at the meeting that we had last week was that we need to go through and review the usage of that optional PSDD and find out if there are any places where it's appropriate, but in general we want to remove that. I guess the question also arises, are there any additional keywords that need to be added? Before we get started, there's been a bit of a discussion going on here about the difference between the implicit and explicit uses of the file object. And I was wondering, Ron, if you would mind sort of just talking about that for a minute in terms of what the distinctions are there and how that might impact this issue.
Well, I mean, if it crosses various boundaries, right, what we really need to figure out is how to some way formalize what's appropriate and inappropriate for using the explicit and the implicit file object for the speak tool, and in some way put that into some sort of specification, preferably in the data dictionary, so that the tool would know how to validate those two objects.
in the file object. Yeah. Okay, so I guess the main issue then is if we were to look at both the implicit and the explicit file objects as distinct objects, would there be an impact in terms of a much more limited set of sub-objects for the explicit file object? Is that basically the argument?
I think in any single label, you can only have one implicit file object, but you can have multiple explicit file objects. So there's one big difference right there.
Okay, I should let everybody know, the reason I asked Ron to present that is I'm not convinced that these two objects should be treated differently. Steve does agree with Ron on this issue. Unfortunately, Steve can't be here today.
Elizabeth, I'm a little confused about what your objectives are for this telecom.
Okay, what I would really like to do is, both of these two issues, I would like to go through and find out what the consensus is. I would actually like to march through the list of objects, discuss each one briefly, and find out what the consensus is so that I can then go away and write up some SDRs for us to vote on.
Okay, good. Yeah, I wasn't clear if we're coming, consensus of a specific SDR or just having a general discussion.
Okay. Like I say, it's more an issue of just having a general discussion at this stage so I can write up an SDR.
Okay.
I guess I'd like to get some feedback initially on this issue of the file object and whether or not we need to be treating this as two separate objects and discussing it as two separate objects, or whether we can just go through and deal with it as a single object.
And you're talking about explicit files versus implicit files?
You got it. Right now they are defined, there's only a single file object definition in the data dictionary. But like I say, I'm hearing arguments from Ron and Steve for treating this as two separate objects.
And the problem is if you don't have an explicit file object definition, VTool needs a lot of extra code.
No, I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is more that given that there is an implicit file object in every single label, the lack of any sub-objects defined for the file object basically means that VTool should be throwing an error when it encounters any object at all within that implicit file object, or for that matter within an explicit file object.
Because the definition says none?
That's right. The definition lists no sub-objects either required or optional.
Okay. Well, I think I raised that in a separate email to you yesterday.
You did.
That none has two meanings.
Wait a second. Let me...
Well, in some cases we have, for example, a definition where it says optional objects and it says none. In some cases, that's taken to be you can't have any sub-objects, and in other cases it's taken to mean you can have any sub-objects.
Okay, well I think from the perspective of something like VTool, we're going to need to make that a little bit clearer.
I agree.
And I think what I'm hearing from the developers is that they're interpreting none as meaning none permitted.
Yeah, and in a case of file, you probably want just the opposite interpretation.
Exactly.
And alternatively, no. We want to change the word to any instead of all, or none?
Well, yes and no. But element, I think, is one where you probably do want none to mean no other objects. Element is one of those primitive definitions, and I don't think there are any cases where you'd want to have objects under an element.
Okay, so then I guess, let me throw the question out there. Should we allow any sub-object to the file object, or should we provide an explicit list?
I sent you a list of at least five that I don't think are appropriate under a file.
I agree with you, and I've already been identifying some myself. Ron agrees with that. Is there anybody who believes we should allow any object, any sub-object to the file object?
Can we hear what Dick listed?
Yeah, catalog, data producer, data provider, element. And I've forgotten what the other one was.
I don't think you have an element directly from a field object.
Yeah, field is defined within a spreadsheet context, so it wouldn't be appropriate to have a field. field directly under a file. So it's those kinds of things.
And with column, of course, but...
Yeah, column might fit, too.
Column would. The other ones I've identified so far, and I've by no means gotten through the list, are bit column and bit element. I don't think belong in there either, because they're defined with respect to a column.
Not necessarily.
Okay. Well, this is exactly what I'd like to hear, is cases that are distinct from what the... I mean, the standards reference defines it with respect to a column, but I don't ever use this thing, so I'd like to hear how other people are using it.
Well, I've always used it with respect to a column, at least I think so. But the reason you have a bit column is that you can't line things up on column boundaries. So if you insisted on... If you had a file where you only had one column and then you broke it up into bit columns, you could probably make the argument that bit column needed a column over it. But I'm not sure that...
It needs a table over it, doesn't it?
If you read the definition in the standards reference, the bit column doesn't really refer to anything except the column, and it only refers to the column because you can't define a column. So I think technically it's possible to have a bit column without having a column.
Wouldn't that only happen in a...
Yeah, but you'd still have to have it within a table, right?
I'm not sure even that's required by the way it's written. We've always talked about it in those terms, but if you read it very carefully, I'm not sure that's required.
Hey, Dick, so I think in practical use, it seems like, you know, a bit column may or may not be within a column, but it's probably within a table.
I agree. That's how we all... almost always talk about it, but if somebody came in and said, I just want a file with bit columns, right, I'm not sure I'd have very good reason to object to that.
Based on the way the standards are written right now.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that...
So that doesn't mean the...
Wait a sec. A35, this is example 5 under the section describing bit columns. The bit column object can be a sub-object only of a column, but that column may itself be part of a table, spectrum, series, or container.
This is under an example?
Yes, it is.
That's a very poor place to put a requirement like that.
I agree, and we could certainly take a note to get that moved up.
Yeah, if you want to do that, then I'll accept that a bit column doesn't fit under a file, but just looking at the first few paragraphs in that section, it's not obvious that a bit column wouldn't work. I started a spreadsheet yesterday trying to figure out which objects can have which other objects, and there are a lot of empty spaces in that spreadsheet.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let me get back to my initial question before we start going down this similar idea to Dick's spreadsheet. Is there anybody that wants to discuss the implicit and the explicit file objects separately, or for now, for this purpose, should we discuss them as being one and the same?
One and the same.
I agree.
Okay. I mean, if we go back to Ron's point, it seems to me in practical usage that, you know, what Ron said is that you could have an implicit file object which references several file objects, just from the nature in which we do labels and so forth. But I'm finding it hard for the case where you would use an implicit file object but not have an object. Where I thought earlier someone said you might have a file object but no sub-object.
And even there, as I'm thinking about it, the explicit file object can point to just about anything. So it may be that in this particular instance, I'm not sure there is a distinction between the two for the purposes of defining a list of legitimate sub-objects. Ron, what's your reaction to that?
I would say that if you're including an explicit file object, that you're probably going to be including another object underneath that anyway.
Yeah.
Whether it's document, table, whatever.
Well, but don't forget minimal label.
Yeah, I use those a lot. And Joe Zender has insisted that the Europeans at least have an explicit file object definition. So I've had to revise some of my minimal labels so that there's a very brief explicit file object definition.
Okay, but doesn't that just mean that there's no required sub-objects to the file object?
Right.
Yeah, and in my case, I've got binary files, which I usually don't want to break out in a label. I just point to a document.
Okay, so basically the list that we're considering then is the list of optional sub-objects to the file, whether or not it's implicit or explicit.
So really the question you're asking is there any kind of sub-object that would be inappropriate under an explicit file object that would be okay under an implicit?
Or vice versa, right.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
But can you use an implicit file object and not have any object?
No. I don't think so. That's a good point. So the implicit file object may has to have at least one sub-object, whereas the explicit does not.
Right. That was the point I was trying to make.
Well, okay, let's at least write that distinction down.
Minimal labels don't have sub-objects.
Correct,
at least not in my cases.
But the minimal label uses the explicit file object.
No.
Oh, am I getting that wrong?
No.
It's like 20 keywords, and it says this is the mission. This is the file name.
Oh, where the heck are minimal labels defined? Labeling method.
5.2.3.
Oh, 5.2. No wonder I'm in the wrong. Okay. Minimal labels. There we go.
I guess one way to say it is, do we have specific rules for using explicit file objects, or have we just kind of done things by practice?
Largely we've done things by practice, except what is laid out in section 5.2.3, I think. File name keywords, we got listed keywords. The file object is included. Implicit file object attached and detached minimal label. Explicit file object requires an object. Okay, well there's the file object listed there. Well, what this would suggest then is that there's no required sub-objects for either. There are cases for both the implicit and explicit file objects where no sub-objects are required. Any arguments to that?
That's what I've been doing for 10 years.
Okay.
Can I ask a question maybe to be filed away for the future?
Yes, please go ahead.
Is there a reason to keep the concept this way? Why don't we always have an explicit file object?
I think that's what Joe Zender's pushing, and I wouldn't be surprised if that comes up for
PDS-4.
Yeah, whatever the heck PDS-4 is going to be. Yeah. But let me write it down anyway.
He's not just pushing it. I think he's required it.
Yeah, I that's my understanding as well. Although I think we're going to have to reconcile our understanding of exactly how it's used. I think Joe's slightly different from the way we are at the moment.
Required an explicit file object.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for a system as extensive as the PDS has become, anything implicit is begging people to have to have better knowledge than to require.
I think it's mostly history. People just used minimal labels with implicit file object definitions because that was kind of the next step beyond no documentation whatsoever.
I think part of the problem, Steve and I got into a very detailed discussion about this, and there ends up becoming confusion about file objects. You know, what the heck is it the file object for? Is it the file object for the thing that you're pointing to or the thing that the label is in? And it got confusing, but this is definitely an issue that needs to be addressed and clarified in the future.
It's got to be the thing you're pointing to, otherwise my entire concept of labels is wrong.
Right, and that is the way we've always looked at it. The problem is that if we have this rule that everything in an archive volume has to have a label, anyway, let's not even go down that road right now. Okay. Thank you, Mitch. I've got it listed as something that needs to be discussed in the future. Okay, So I think for now it sounds like we're going to go ahead and treat the implicit and the explicit file objects the same with regards to what list of sub-objects may be permitted in them. Any violent disagreement with that?
No.
No, okay. Okay, so let's go quickly through the list if we can here. And for each object that I mentioned, I want to know, should it be an optional sub-object to the file object, one, and two, should we allow optional PSDD as, should the PSDD be listed in the list of optional keywords? Okay, the alias object is the first one. My gut feeling was alias should not be permitted in the file sub-object because it's listed explicitly as a sub-object of the column. And that it should not have PSDD listed as an optional keyword.
I think this is going to be really hard to do over the phone.
Really? Okay. What would you recommend that we do instead?
I'm not sure.
I would recommend Elizabeth or Elizabeth and other interested parties to withdraw man that we could then discuss.
Yeah, that's probably better, because when I looked at alias yesterday, I didn't see any problem with having it as a sub-object of a file. I mean, there are reasons that I wouldn't do it, but from what's in the data dictionary, the standards reference, I didn't see any reason you couldn't have it.
Yeah.
If we're going to start redoing these based on what we think should be the case in the future, then
Right,
we need to bring in Joe Zender and other people like that before we make any decisions, because this may start infringing on a lot of people's turf. I know.
It says right there on the top of this one, it says it's an optional sub-object as a column object.
Okay. Well, on that basis, then I would agree we don't want that under a file.
I agree that I don't think this is a... This is probably not going to work out very well over the phone.
Okay, I'm happy to go away and do that. What I'm trying to figure out is how is that going to help? I'm still going to come back to you with a straw man that we're still going to have to discuss at some point. Is this the kind of thing that would lend itself better to, you know, a blog-like discussion where everybody can look at the list, go away and look up individual items and make comments on them? Would that be a better forum for this particular issue?
Well, I don't know what the best forum is, but definitely we need to have a straw man so that we can go off and have time to think about it and make comments.
Yeah, I would say just go ahead and make your list of the optional objects for the file object, or these objects, and then...
The optional PSDD.
And you have a separate list of the objects that can or can't include PSDD, whatever that means.
Yeah, I do it slightly differently, Elizabeth, because I'd like to see all of the objects listed and then a yes or no for whether it goes on the, as a sub-object.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what I...
And for the no's, I'd like to know why you think it shouldn't be.
Okay. That's,
because
that's
I'm lazy.
No, survey? Okay.
All right. Okay, I've already started putting together something like that.
Shall I send you my spreadsheet and then you don't have to type all the columns in?
That would be great, sure.
Okay.
What I'm trying to figure out, though, is what's the best way, once I do that, for us to come back and address this. Whether the telecon... given that I think you all are going to want to go away and, as you say, just you know sort of consider each one and look it up or whatever.
Maybe send us an email with the results in it and then have us submit...
Disagreements. Yeah, and then I guess actually that'll work. Why don't we do that? Everybody will submit their disagreements, and then we can take those disagreements and discuss them in a telecon, and that might be the best way to handle it.
I think so.
And when you do the one about the PSDD,
yep.
I think the default should be no. It should not be included, and I would like to know why it needs to be included.
Okay.
I agree with me.
I'm happy with that. Anyone disagree? Okay. All right, well, then this is going to be an extremely short telecon.
Bless you.
All right, I'm trying to think, what is 2 weeks from today? I may be on vacation. Hang on.
Oh, no, we're not doing the I'm on vacation excuse, are we?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Actually, no, I won't be. It's not until that following week. So, yes, I'll be here 2 weeks from now. Okay.
I'll be in a car.
Well, you still got a cell phone, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. I will go away, make the list, and get that sent out to everybody. And hopefully that will work to get these issues resolved. Thank you all for calling in.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.